The Sunday blizzard fires up the 911 lines as more than 400 vehicles go off the road in Minnesota. Authorities say a Chicago man fired the trigger a year ago when a Fargo man was killed, and a 23-year-old blogger sets the country on fire over Christmas, exposing unthinkable fraud in Minnesota. But it's the way he did it that has America talking today. And boy, is America talking today. This story has absolutely taken over the internet and some of the national media conversations. Certainly the places that you and I turn for information and perspective, they cannot stop talking about the Nick Shirley video. 42 minutes of absolute spike in the football on fraud in Minnesota. And boy, has this made Tim Walz look bad. Isn't it something that some kid going around with a camera that you could buy at Best Buy for $200 and an internet access portal has absolutely lit the world on fire with this story? We're going to talk a lot about this today, especially in the second hour of the program. And I'm going to give you a little commentary on this and why I think this actually could mean the end of Tim Walz's tenure as governor of the state of Minnesota. It is the state of Minnesota, after all. So we are not counting any chickens, but there certainly is something hatching across Minnesota today. So we'll talk a lot about that today. And I do have a couple updates to this story in the 4 o'clock wrap as well. It is good, my friend, to be back with you here on the radio today. And I have a huge amount of gratitude and thanks for my friends Michelle Comer and Tim Flackel and Andrew Sletten for keeping things going on those days when I was out last week, as well as my man Addison Leger, our producer, who just keeps everything running like clockwork when I am gone. Had a chance to go to Big Sky, Montana. Had never been there before. And as I told you when I got back from Vermont, my soul gets stirred a little bit when I go to places where the beauty is just literally overwhelming. And it certainly happened to me again. I skied a few days, tried snowboarding once. Oh, boy, that was a blooper reel right there. Skiing, I'm actually not terrible. Snowboarding, you'd thought I was drunk and dizzy and had smoked a little bit of the product out there that they actually sell with a remarkable frequency out in Montana. You can find weed everywhere out there. You thought I would have done all of it before I hopped on the snowboard. Second time I've tried it, the first time I only had like a half hour. This time I spent a couple hours trying to learn how to snowboard, and I don't know. The stubborn guy inside of me wants to try it again because I can't be that bad again, but I was that bad. I was. But skiing was absolutely fantastic. The creation and the beauty is you can't explain it. You take pictures, you get home, and you say, that doesn't really do it right there. Amazing, and had a chance to get close to the Lord a little bit while I was gone and have a lot of good prayers and conversations out on the ski hill, on the chairlift, and met a lot of really interesting people as well. And I saw one sign on one restaurant in Big Sky that made me never want to go there ever. I'll tell you about that coming up here on the show today, too. Something about law enforcement on the front door of the restaurant. I'm like, you are an idiot, aren't you? If you don't know exactly where it is that you are doing business. Montana. Yeah, they get a little liberal there on certain things, but generally they do appreciate law enforcement in Montana. So a lot to cover on the show today. If you want to give a call into the program, I'd really like to hear from you what your thoughts were on this video. You've probably seen it. Most of the world has as well. It came out the day before Christmas, and I believe that it was filmed the day before So I think it was filmed on the 23rd and actually released on the 24th of December. And man, you just couldn't escape it in the news cycle. And this is a good thing. Everybody needs to see what is happening here in Minnesota. And you have to wonder where our state media is at across the Twin Cities metro area and why it took a 23-year-old kid. So we'll do that here today. Dean Wysocki is going to stop by too. It was a nasty little blizzard that we got yesterday. And I talked to Dean about it and I said, man, it sounds like from your forecast that we're going to stay well below average for a long time here. It's been a cold winter already. And we did get a few little breaks along the way here, but we have got more cold weather coming. But the Annual winter weather outlook is just about ready to pop. I'm going to see if we can get Dino to give us some early information on that, what it might mean for our spring field work, fishing, and all those things that we like to do. Plus, just being able to live without being frozen most of the time is a nice thing as well. So we'll talk about that here today. A hospital security guard is dead after being assaulted on Christmas Day. I've just got to think that this could have been prevented somehow, some way. We'll talk about that. And as I mentioned, in hour two of the program especially, we're going to get into quite a bit of why this story from Minneapolis is just lighting the news cycle on fire, at least it should be, and is in many of places. And I'm going to talk about Tim Walz. Can he survive this scandal? Also saw very good commentary today about lowering of rent prices, which is a big deal for young families and singles getting out of college. Got to find a place to rent. And what do we have to say about what's happening with the deportation efforts, why that might be playing a part in it? I thought a very rational and balanced conversation on that today. And I like those a lot because then I can listen to what I hear both sides saying and make up my own mind. And I did today, and you'll get a chance to do that as well. If you'd like to give us a call today, 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. I'm coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com. That's Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less to buy a beautiful vehicle like I was able to do just a short time ago. And oh yeah, for good measure today, I'm going to tell you how you can spend Valentine's Day in Las Vegas. And not just a cool trip to Vegas, but an amazing little prize to go along with. Plane ticket, hotel stay, and $500 in spending money. This is going to be a ton of fun. I'm telling you what, guys, romance is not dead because the good folks at the Flag are giving you an opportunity to give, I think, a Valentine's Day trip of a lifetime to you and your sweetheart. So there you go on that. And ladies, romance not dead yet either. If that old goat won't come up with the idea on his own, well, you can get things started with a cool trip to Las Vegas. Who wouldn't like a free trip to Vegas? So all that coming up here on the program today. All right, let's get into the 4 o'clock wrap. Semi-automatic storylines with a rapid-fire rundown of this Monday, December 29th. And if you're anything like me, you come back after a week of vacation, you can't remember what day it is. It is Monday today, December 29th. Average high 20, average low 3, record high 52 in 1999, record low minus 36 in 1887. No, thank you for any of that. Sunrise this morning at 8:12, sunset at 4:46. And yes, friends, we have reached that point since I left you where we are now gaining daylight. We will gain 39 seconds of glorious daylight today. So the sun will be setting about 7 minutes later than when we did this about 10 days ago. So very cool. We're going the right direction. It was a down day on Wall Street today. Not massive gains, but certainly there were, or not massive losses, but certainly there were losses. Dow off 249, S&P 500 down 24, NASDAQ down 118. It will be a fantastic year in the stock market, no matter what happens, really, over the next couple of days. But we were down today. WTI crude oil, right about $58 a barrel. That's up a dollar from Friday. Gold today down $202 at $4,350. Silver down $5.55 at $71.64. Silver has been on an amazing run. So we were down about 7% today, which is a big drop. But still, we are way up on silver and gold from the start of 2025. Bitcoin today unchanged, $87,000. And AAA says that, again, we are lower on gas prices. I see 206 now, the corner stores here. I forgot to look at Fleet Farm on I-29 driving up to work today. That's typically where I see the lowest gas prices. We may get some buck 90-something gas here pretty soon, and we may actually already have it here in the metro. But 282, the national average. North Dakota's state average, 256. South Dakota, 257. Minnesota, 262. In the news today, the Minnesota State Patrol has released data for service calls in yesterday's blizzard. Nearly 400 cars, trucks, and SUVs and semis went off the road across the state yesterday. 342 property crashes were reported statewide, 29 injury crashes as well between midnight and midnight yesterday. 17 vehicles off the road alone in the Detroit Lakes District. So, yeah, it was a tough drive yesterday. Hopefully you listened to Dino. He was telling you not to drive. The weather people were all saying stay home. Hopefully you did. Homeland Security agents report WCCO-TV are in Minneapolis today conducting a massive investigation on child care and other rampant fraud, according to Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. This, of course, comes on the heels of that explosive report that came out last week talking about rampant fraud with child care facilities across the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Two DHS officials tell CBS News that ICE agents and Homeland Security officials were expected to inspect over 30 sites in the city yesterday or today alone. So they were going to be very busy today. As I said, much more on this story coming up later in the program today. Valley News Live reports that a Jamestown area elementary school teacher has been arrested on corruption of minor charges. Michael Romans, who's also a volunteer firefighter, was taken into custody earlier today. Jamestown police say the 45-year-old had a sexual relationship with a student for up to 2 years. He's been placed on administrative leave from Jamestown Public Schools and the city while the investigation takes place. Also in the news today, Valley News Live reports a Hillsborough man is facing felony charges, including a criminal attempt to commit murder and aggravated assault on an adult victim. Robert Taylor was charged Friday in Trail County Court. Court documents did not provide additional details about the circumstances of that incident. A Moorhead man is facing six felony charges after authorities say he carjacked a vehicle at Knife Point outside a grocery store, then led deputies on a high-speed chase that ended when he crashed into a tree. Sean McMahon is charged with first-degree carjacking, second-degree assault with a dangerous weapon, motor vehicle theft, fleeing police, drug possession, and first-degree property damage. Other than that, not much went on, apparently. A Chicago man has pleaded guilty in Cass County District Court, reports the forum, to a number of charges, including a count of murder in the December of 2024 shooting death of 32-year-old Rashawn Wilson. Happened near the Summer at Osgood Apartments on 47th Street South in Fargo. Wilson died from multiple gunshot wounds at that time. Now, Martin, who has been in custody at the Cass County Jail for nearly a year, made a brief court appearance today. He pleaded guilty to a count of murder in the course of and in furtherance of certain crimes, as well as a couple other misdemeanors as well. Also pleaded guilty to a count of possession with intent to manufacture and deliver fentanyl. Why is it that drugs are always part of these things? It just seems like darn near every story. The last one I read was the same way, about Moorhead as well. So Stephen Burrell of Fargo already faces two murder charges. He's currently in custody out of state. And now they believe that both Martin and Burrell fired a round at Wilson before fleeing the apartment building. The shooting was Fargo's sixth homicide and the metro area's 11th homicide in 2024. A new poll released by the North Dakota News Cooperative reports that 91% of North Dakotans say they are proud to be from the great state. Only 9% say no. There are some other pieces to this poll as well. People say, generally speaking, they're pretty satisfied with life right now. 48% said very satisfied. 38% said somewhat. 10% said I'm not too satisfied. 6% said I'm not satisfied at all. And as far as the optimism level going into the new year, are you somewhat optimistic, very optimistic, or not at all? Well, between the somewhat and very, 66% of North Dakotans said they were optimistic about the year to come. So 2 out of 3 North Dakotans are optimistic about the year upcoming. So I guess we'll take that. I don't know. A former Cass County emergency manager and North Dakota Highway Patrol superintendent is running for Cass County Commission. Jim Prochniak made his announcement earlier today for District 4, which includes the city of West Fargo. A lot of experience there, hoping to gain a spot on the Cass County Commission. And changes are coming to the Fargo Public Library. They've had to cut some costs over there. So they're going to give access to their electronic content through the Libby service only to Fargo residents. And this aligns with other libraries across the metro that limit access to only their residents. And this seems like fairly common sense to me, especially if there's a cost involved. So we will see. They're going to also cancel some subscriptions to things like Morningstar Investing Center, the Foundation Directory, Auto Repair Source, Data Axle Reference Solutions, which honestly, if you think about it, all that stuff's available online as well. So let's save the money on the subscription. So in this case, cost cutting seems fairly innocuous. Non-resident library cards will be reinstated as well, they said. And they want the people in the community to know they're trying to watch expenses best they can with the cuts. They had to take about $200,000 off their budget. And those, friends, are some of the stories that are making headlines here on this Monday afternoon, December 29th. When we return here on the Steve Hallstrom Show, the sign of the restaurant in Big Sky said, "Ice not welcomed here." And they weren't talking about the conditions on the slopes. That's next on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Every Monday at this time, we get to get excited about hopping on a plane, train, automobile, go somewhere nice. Our friend Cindy from Travel Travel is with us today. Hey, Cindy, how are you?
Hey, doing great. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, well, we hope you did too. And we're thankful that all year long you've been here giving us some great travel ideas. And you've got another one here as we're starting to look ahead to 2026. I don't know if I'm going to say this quite right, even though I took 2 years of Spanish in middle school, but we're going to Costa Mujeres in February. Tell us about that, and did I say that name okay?
You said it perfectly. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's great.
So tell us about it.
Okay, Costa Mujeres is north of Cancun. It's a really great area. It's kind of new. I shouldn't say new, but in the last 5-10 years. We've got you leaving out of Fargo, airfare to Cancun. We've got you transfers, 7 nights all-inclusive, all for the price of $1,803 per person, and this is based on double occupancy.
Yeah, another great trip for under $4,000, everything included. You're going to be staying at the Riu Dunamar, which is that Riu chain has got a very good reputation. They've been around for a long time, and people keep going back. Once you've been to one of the Riu resorts, tough to think about going anywhere else. And you're going in February. What a great time this is, because you get through January, which is kind of the death march of winter around here, and there's something to look forward to. Then you get back, and it's Valentine's Day, and pretty soon spring is around the corner. How do people get a hold of you if they want to find out more about this one, Cindy?
Give us a call at 701-492-5000.
Okay. And remember, friend, that when you are thinking about giving gifts, there's a great way to do that. And what could be better than getting a gift certificate for travel, Cindy, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great gift. Gift of travel changes lives. So, and we have them available. So birthdays, Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's, it's great.
So how does this work? We give you a call and we say, hey, I want to give my whatever, my son, my daughter, my friend, my sweetheart, whatever. I want to give them a couple $100 toward travel next year. And then you just give them a certificate they can cash in toward any trip. How does that work?
Yep, absolutely. If you want to just say that, you know, you'll give them your travel agent, or you can give a trip to a travel agent, too, if you wanted to.
There you go. Absolutely. Yep. My guess is if you give Cindy a little gift certificate, she'll give you some really good tips on where to go on that trip. All right. So traveltravel.com, and you can find them more, 492-5000. And get a hold of them then. Thank you, Cindy, for the update. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Cindy. Thanks so much. Cindy from Travel Travel. And isn't she a gem? So much fun to hear about all the great places to go. And none of these are budget breakers. Now, I get it. $1,800 a person is not nothing. I understand. But when you take a look at the value you get for what you pay, that's making your budget stretch there, no doubt about that. All right, before we get to bottom of the hour news, let me give you the one thing that I did not like that I saw on vacation. As I mentioned, spent Christmas week in Big Sky with my family and the family of young man that my daughter married about a year and a half ago. And so we had a great time skiing and hanging out with the Carguses when we were out in Montana on Big Sky. And one of the days I was walking, I had to go into town to take care of something and was just walking through the main street of Big Sky. This is Big Sky, Montana, right? This isn't, San Jose or New York City. But there was a sign on a restaurant door. It was a burger place, burgers and fries, right? All American place. The sign said, "Ice not welcomed here." And I was like, do you think? And I kept reading the sign like, ice, like what? And they're talking about immigrations and customs enforcement. And I thought when they said ice not welcome here, it was like a joke about, you know, we don't like icy snow slopes. We like skiing on the powder. But no, and it went on to basically, rip the Trump administration and say, our guests and our employees and everybody here, you can't come and talk to them and you need to search warrant. I wish I took a picture of it and I didn't. But basically just an outright middle finger to the Trump administration and law enforcement, right? And I thought to myself, do you realize where you are and that people from places like North Dakota and Montana, where you're located, are coming here? And when they see those signs, those are the kind of places that I will not only not go to, but I'll tell other people, hey, don't go to that place. They don't appreciate the rule of law. And it's like, tell me you're not harboring illegals without telling me you're not harboring illegal, right? I mean, come on now. I just thought that was a ridiculous thing to put on your store. You are cutting down on the number of people that will go and frequent your restaurant. Now, I guess if you're a true believer and you're part of the movement, then I guess you're just going to do whatever and you don't really care what the price is that you have to pay for that. But talk about an anti-American thing to have on the front door of your business in this wonderful little Mayberry of a downtown. It made me shake my head many, many times. I thought about going in there and just asking them, but I didn't. I might not have ended for anybody. So there you go. All right, 4:33, Steve Alstrom Show. Time to head to the newsroom. Well, it paid off if you listen to Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki here over the weekend. He had been telling you for a few days, it looks like Sunday is going to be nasty. Stay home. 400 people slid off the road in Minnesota alone. Oof. Did not listen to Dean Wysocki or the equivalent level of meteorology and decided to get out and try to make some things happen. They certainly did, but in the wrong way. I asked Dean if he'd stop by today to talk a little bit about the event that we had yesterday. In addition to, I know that they're... their spring weather outlook is coming here fairly soon. So, Dino, thanks for coming by. How much snow do we get out of this thing yesterday?
Well, it depends where you're at. Generally, about 3 to 5 inches. I saw some 6-inch reports officially out at the airport, and it's tough to measure when it's so windy.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, you've got what's called a snowboard, and it's usually surrounded by, you know, wood or something to prevent the wind from disrupting the snow that falls. So officially, out at the airport, 3.3.
Okay.
I had about a little over four at my house. So it was about 3 to 5 across the area.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I had some really good drifts in my place.
Oh, yeah.
It's that kind of, you know, wind plus snow deal where half your driveway is bone dry.
Right.
Right. And then the other half has a 3-foot drift.
Exactly.
On it. Yeah. And the snowboard doesn't like it because that stuff gets packed down when it's light like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, and thankfully it's not that heavy heart attack snow.
You know,
it was a light and fluffy stuff. But on the contrary is that blows around easy and then that leads to blizzard conditions. Second blizzard so far this season.
Yep.
Yep.
And, I will say that I do like that kind of heavy snow because it means it's not 80 below zero wind chill like it was
right.
last night when I was out scraping around. So anything more? Let me back up here. It seems like are having about an average snowfall winter here in the metro. We've had a couple of these, 5-6 inches deals and we have a little bit of snow cover. It's not typical that we have what we had last winter where there wasn't anything on the ground. So are we about average for snowfall?
So, and I just looked that up. Funny you should ask because you didn't let me know you're going to ask.
Well, you know I'm going to ask you the tough questions here.
So compared to last year, we're surprisingly, only about 5 inches ahead of where we were at this time last year.
Okay.
In terms of normal, we're a half foot below where we should be. So 6 inches below. And again, these are measurements from the airport. Your particular area might be right on target, you know, right on. We're pretty close to normal, but just a little bit below in terms of snowfall.
Okay. What does the rest of the winter look like?
Well, in fact, I just put on our website the LRC Winter Outlook. I put it out through March. There is one graph on there that does go through April, but I just wanted to touch on the winter months. And we've got two distinct patterns. One is the pattern that we're in right now, these clipper system after clipper system after clipper system. And those are the ones that give you, you know, the 2 to 5 inches, the wind, you know, the nasty stuff you don't want. But it never gives you those big blockbuster storms.
Right.
This is going to be the dominant pattern for the winter, is these clipper systems, which, again, they add up. Phase two of the LRC is when the West Coast gets battered with rain, which they just had in areas of California and southern Arizona. That's phase two, and that's what we had in the springtime, where the western and central part of the state got inundated with rainfall.
They got hammered.
Yeah. So that's phase two of the LRC cycle, and that will be coming back approximately every 70 to 73 days. Now, in the spring, that jet stream typically, or in the fall, that jet stream typically steers those systems into our area. During the dead of winter, usually the Arctic air winds out, and that storm track is a little further south on the phase one of the LRC, where we get the big snowstorms. So as we progress into spring or late winter, we're going to mimic what we had in fall. So I think we're going to see some big storms when that phase two of the LRC cycle comes back, and those will be the big, big snowmakers, the heavy, wet snow.
We didn't get any rain in the fall, though, this year, did we?
It was.
I thought it was bone dry, like September, October.
Ask Bridget. That's what I thought, too. And Bridget's like, bite your tongue. She goes, we had way more precip than we needed for the fall.
Did we really?
Yep.
Okay.
We did. So, So with that being said, you know, again, the clipper system, upper air pattern, that's the dominant one this winter. But when we get into late winter and early spring, we're going to have to keep a very close eye on that second part of the LRC cycle. And if you want to know when the target dates are, again, it's on our website, AM1100theflag.com.
Either way.
And you can log on there. It says LRC Winter Outlook. And I'll pinpoint the days that we are expecting. I didn't pinpoint all these little storms, but some of the bigger storms that will affect the area that will come our way from now through March.
Now, these clipper systems, it seems to me, you tell me if I'm wrong, it seems to me that that is sort of our typical winter pattern here. We don't get the Buffalo storm where it's 3 feet of heavy, wet snow. We just don't seem to get that. It's this little bit here, little bit there, and it's always dang cold.
Yeah, and that's going to be what this winter is like. We'll have more snow than last winter. I still think we're going to fall. We'll see about 80 to 90% of our average snowfall. So we'll come close.
Which is what, 4 feet?
Yeah, 45, pretty close to it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we'll fall, I think, just a little bit shy of that. And again, all it takes is one of those storms in the spring to come up and blast us, which is possible. There is going to be a quick, this is the only thing I'll tell you, you're going to have to go onto our website to find out the rest, but there is going to be a quick switch into spring this year.
Oh.
Very quick.
Okay.
Yeah. So we won't have that lingering cold and snow into April,
which
this
is
year.
What we've had the last few springs. Yeah. It seems like
I'm not saying we won't see snow in April, but it's going to be a pretty quick switch.
Okay, so based on that, I'm guessing you're expecting a fairly cold as far as temps go.
Yeah.
A fairly cold winter.
Colder, near average to below normal. I don't see. Mm-hmm. We'll see our periods of above normal, but I think the western part of the state, central western part of the state. Down into areas of central, western South Dakota, those areas are going to see above normal temps for this winter. But for the eastern third into Lakes Country, I think we're going to see temperatures at or below normal on average for the whole winter.
I got to tell you, we drove home from Big Sky on Friday of this past, so whatever that is, 4 days ago.
Right.
It was 52 when we got to Dickinson. And it was absolutely beautiful, sunny, not much wind. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fantastic. we get to just a little bit outside of Dickinson, a little bit east, and we're driving into what looks like a white wall. It looked like we were driving back to the mountains. It was so distinct, but it was a heavy area fog.
Okay.
And it was warm, and the temperature dropped like 10 degrees in that thing. And it felt like we were in a horror movie because it was weird. Like you're driving like a shelf cloud, a wall cloud or whatever, driving right into it. And then, of course, on the other side, it was winter. But dang, was it nice, the western part of the state.
And that's how this winter is going to be. If you want, if you want resort weather,
yeah,
go out west.
Go out west, yeah. Why can we never have the nice things here?
Well, we do sometimes, world, so. Just not in the winter.
Yeah, all right. So maybe a spit of snow here later this week, but nothing too much.
We got a couple of clipper systems. One will come in, very weak one, tomorrow morning on a warm front. Mm-hmm. And that'll give us maybe up to a half inch, a dusting to a half inch. We'll warm things up into the low to mid 30s tomorrow, so pretty decent.
Yes,
yeah, we'll take that. It'll feel like a heat wave. And
yes,
then
it will.
And then on Wednesday, another clipper system comes. This has got a little more punch that could give us about up to 2 inches of additional snow and wind. So,
oh goody.
So Wednesday,
and I guess cold temperatures probably.
Yes,
too, right?
Wednesday night into Thursday, single digits, and the winds pick up out of the northwest. So whatever snow's on the ground, that'll be and the additional snow, that'll be blowing around for New Year's Eve and into Thursday. And then we've got another clipper system. This one might pack a little more punch coming in here on Sunday.
Okay.
So, and again, we've got these all timed out on the LRC Winter Outlook calendar. Just log on to our website, am1100theflag.com, and it's a LRC Winter Outlook.
Yeah, do that, plus be listening to Dino. He's on the flag all day long, and every once in a while he even comes in late like this one. Guy's here at 6 a.m., and I ask him to come in at 4 and 4:45, and he says, let's do it. So we appreciate you, big guy.
And if you have any questions, I get a lot of emails. People say, hey, I'm taking vacation. What's it look like February 25th? I'm driving here. I'm driving there. If you have any questions, feel free to shoot me an email, weather@flagfamily.com. Again, that's weather@flagfamily.com.
All right. You're the man.
Be more than happy
Thanks,
to help.
Thanks, Dino. The
you
one and only it. Dean Wysocki. 4:48. When we come back, oh, boy, we're going to have a little bit of fun here. I'm going to tell you how you can have the best Valentine's Day ever in Las Vegas. Vegas, baby! And you're not going to want to miss this one. And your chance to qualify for this phenomenal prize starts right now. Actually, it'll be able to make more sense of it. You'll be able to make more sense of it after this. Don't go away. Fantastic commercial there by Black Powder Fireworks. That was well done. I was laughing about that one. The Steve Hallstrom Show is brought to you in part by Delta Design and Construction. You might not think about construction projects this time of year, but they get a lot of work done at Delta Design and Construction in the winter months. And maybe it takes a little longer to get it going. Well, that's okay. Spring is just around the corner. I mean, think about it. We're basically into the new year, and then you got to make it through January. February starts feeling a little bit better. By the time March gets here, hey, it's go time. Get those projects going. And at Delta Design and Construction, they can help you with any kind of remodel, including the build-up model. Preserve your yard, maybe keep the cost a little lower, increase property value, don't mess up the landscaping you did, build upward as well. And if you got a smaller lot or you've done a lot of work around the yard and you want to keep all that going, that's the way to do it. They can give you all the options and you can decide what works best. Good faith, family freedom, guys over there. DeltaDesign.biz. DeltaDesign.biz or call them at 701-235-1212, 235-1212, 235-1212, Delta Design and Construction. All right, I've got something that you're going to want to hear about. How many of us sit around every year and think, oh gosh, I want to do something cool for Valentine's Day. I just don't know what. Well, I, my friend, have the opportunity of a lifetime when it comes to Valentine's Day. Date night. How about making a whole date weekend? And how about making it a date weekend in Las Vegas? And how about making it a date weekend in Las Vegas where all expenses are paid? You get 2 round-trip plane tickets. You get to stay in a really nice hotel. You get $500 in spending money and 2 tickets to see the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere. Jay Thomas, my buddy at the other end of the hall, has been there just within the last couple of weeks, and he said, Steve, you just have to go. I can't even tell you how amazing that whole experience is. I don't normally think of Jay Thomas as being a big theatrical guy. To me, I'm like, oh, Jay, is this your thing? Jay Thomas is raving about this deal, and so is apparently everybody else. So thanks to Alsager Meats, our presenting sponsor, and Kingpins, we are putting this contest together. Starting today, like right now, you can go to am1100theflag.com and register there to win. Just got to sign up. Say, hey, I want to be part of the deal. And then starting Monday, January 5th, so that would be next Monday, week from today, listen in the 8 a.m., the 10 a.m., and the 4 p.m. hours. And if you hear your name, you'll have 11 minutes to call in and qualify. Or visit at one of the qualifying stops over the next few weeks. We'll be letting you know about those here as they get set up. And they are on the website, or they will be on the website as well. And the grand prize giveaway will be February 2nd, big giveaway party at Kingpins. They have been a great host for us doing some giveaway parties over there before. Should be a ton of fun. Thank you to Alsager Meats as well as Kingpins. Should be a great one. Valentine's Day in Vegas. How great is that? Well, I don't know how to transition to this next story, but I've got to tell you about this one. And it's just a horrible deal here. A security guard who was injured on Christmas Day by a patient in a Minnesota hospital has died. Her name is Andrea Morell, and she died as a result of injuries sustained during an incident that happened at the M Health Fairview Lakes Medical Center in Wyoming, Minnesota. Wyoming is kind of the northeast metro and a little bit north of there, like that 494, 694 loop that goes around the Twin Cities there. Go on the northeast corner, go up about 25 miles, and that's where we're talking about here. A 35-year-old local man is being held at the jail in connection with the death. Here's what happened. The Wyoming Police Department was called to the medical center because there were reports that a 35-year-old man had assaulted Merrill at the hospital and had run away from the emergency department after being placed on a hold. So the hold is they're calling in law enforcement. Well, a guy found out and assaulted the security officer. Officers found the man in the parking lot, resisted arrest for a prolonged time, fought cops before he was finally subdued, taken into custody. And they eventually, over the weekend, reported that she died from those injuries. And the police department and the hospital chain have set out a message saying our thoughts are with everybody and we're so sad about this happening. My curiosity, though, is you got a 35-year-old guy and you've got a woman who's in her 40s who's a security guard, and I don't know anything. I don't know that anything wrong was done here. But if you've got a violent guy who's willing to attack somebody to the point of killing him, basically, and fighting multiple law enforcement officers, I guess I have questions about what the protocol was for security. Like, why was it just her that was there, a one-on-one deal? That's not going to go well. Did she have a weapon? Was she allowed to fire it? A taser? Did that not happen? How do they let somebody know they're on a hold? And shouldn't they have backup in case the guy gets violent like he did in this case? Just a really sad story there. Top 5 at 5 is coming up next.
All right, I can tell. I can tell, Addison. As I look out in the western sky, there is a faint glow on the horizon.
It's not as dark.
It was not there when I left here 10 days ago. It was not there.
It's slowly getting better.
And here we are at 5:07, and there is just a faint pinkish hue over there. Yes. So I'm very happy about this. We still have January to conquer, but it means that we have made it through one barrier. Anyway, one of the things we got to get through.
Like a hurdle.
Yeah, a hurdle. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's maybe more of a psychological hurdle. It's completely psychological hurdle for whiners like me. But we're on the right side of that particular thing. So there we go. By the way, if you missed our first hour, Dean Wysocki said that he just put up the winter weather outlook for, what did he say, January, February, and basically March. And check that out. You may not love every part of it. Sounds like it's going to be fairly chilly this winter, but nothing all that crazy. It's winter, and it is North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, so what do you expect? This hour of the program is brought to you by Vision Ford Lincoln down in Wapitis, where I got my last car. I took that bad boy, a 2024 Navigator, took it over to a Big Sky, and I'm telling you what, it's just a dream to drive. It just absolutely is. It's such a beautiful car, and the quality they put in those Lincoln vehicles, absolutely amazing. The technology, the electronics, I still haven't figured out all the things that the car does. A buddy of mine was trying to help me out, trying to understand some things about the cruise and the automatic four-wheel drive. I still got a lot to learn about that car, but that just tells you how high class the thing is. It's absolutely fantastic. Just looks like a dream, too, when you're running through the car wash this time of year. Doesn't last all that long, but it sure looks nice. And down at Vision Ford Lincoln, they make it so easy, 15 minutes or less to do the paperwork. Everything's electronic. You just go boop, 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 right through all the questionnaires, all the things you got to do there, sign it. And there they go. 18 service drivers to get you to your car or your car to you for the oil changes, service visits. So buy your next vehicle from Vision Ford Lincoln Wapitis and go to drivewithvision.com. You'll find out what I have. These people know how to make the car buying experience fun again. Check them out, drivewithvision.com. It is time for the top five at five. I've been thinking about this, Addison, because starting next Monday, I can't do the top five at five anymore. My show will be from 9 to 11 a.m. as we're moving around on this whole thing. And to do the top 10 at 10.
That's a lot of news stories.
That's a lot of yapping. And you give me the stink eye often enough anyway about going too long before I take a break. I don't even want to know what that look is going to look like if I try to get in 10 stories. Maybe I'll just have to make it more of like what we do with the 4 o'clock wrap and just rapid fire it.
We might have to.
And not get in. And maybe we'll take another segment and then get into something a little deeper. I like to go a little bit in depth on some of the things on the top five of five. But oftentimes it's like 20 past by the time I look up. Which is exactly what's going to happen today if I don't actually get to it here. So let's rock and roll here with the top five at five. We'll see what we do coming up on January 5th. Story number one, I'm going to kind of mix a few things together into story number one. I'm just going to call it This Day in Minnesota Fraud, which should be a brand new show here on the flag, honestly, because there's so dang much of it going on. And honestly, I have to tell you, I'm not one that rejoices in other people's sufferings normally. But I am relishing this hot seat that Tim Walz has created for himself, I believe. And I'd throw Keith Ellison in there, too. They got him on tape, right, from a few years ago, basically telling certain people within the Twin Cities community, yeah, you know, we'll take care. It'll be okay. And now we're starting to find out why, because there's been a whole lot of money going a whole lot of places that we don't know about. And what do you think is happening to some of that money? So we'll get into this here to start off. This all began, well, it's actually been going on for a while. And to be fair, there have been some reporters in the Twin Cities who have occasionally touched on some of these unique situations that are developing. So it's not as though nobody has said anything about it, but it hasn't been nearly enough, nearly as loud. It hasn't caught fire. Well, it has now because of this young buck, 23 years of age, Nick Shirley, who released the 42-minute video titled "I Investigated Minnesota's Billion-Dollar Fraud Scandal," which has now been seen more than 100 million times, telling us what we suspected or maybe knew a little bit about, but kind of blew the doors off the whole thing. Basically, the spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, too bad. The spoiler alert is he said, I found $110 million in fraud in just one day by going around to these places that claimed that they were getting the state money to help kids and like there's no kids in the building at this child care center. So that's kind of the genesis of all this. Well, here's the update for today. Homeland Security agents have been in Minneapolis all day conducting a massive investigation into child care and other rampant fraud, according to Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. ICE investigations been going on today, and they were hoping to get to as many as 30 different places around the city today, just today there. When asked if this is about suspected fraud or immigration enforcement, sources tell CBS News, well, we are looking into the fraud, but if we happen to find things that tip us off to immigration enforcement issues, we'll certainly do that as well. So that's part one to the story. Part two is a collection of Minnesota House and Senate Republicans is now calling for the resignation of Governor Tim Walz after all of the scrutiny that's come over the last few days here. Minnesota State Senators Bill Lisky and Nathan Wessenberg and State Representatives Marge Fogelman, Drew Roach, and Mike Weiner release a joint statement together. None of them from our listening area here. I imagine other folks, you know, Jim Joy from Hawley, I imagine he'd be in on this too. Maybe these five just did it on their own. I don't know. But the letter says in part, Minnesotans have been watching this fraud crisis get worse for years. It's gone on long enough. The Office of the Governor deserves respect. We've tried to give Governor Walz time to act, but leadership means doing the right thing even when it's difficult, which is why we're calling on Governor Walz to resign. They go on to say, what we're seeing from the governor is what nonfeasance looks like. When a governor fails to do what he's required to do, when he watches a crisis spiral out of control, does nothing to stop it, that is nonfeasance. And the governor had a duty to oversee his administration and protect these programs. He failed, and there needs to be consequences. They're 100% right. Whether this is corruption, whether he's in on it, which I'm not going to accuse him of that because I don't know that, or just looking the other way, too casual about it, doesn't matter. It's either corruption or it's incompetence, and either way, he should. Absolutely, he should resign. And the final part of this is that Kash Patel yesterday put out a statement saying that, just so you know, we are aware of this, and we have dismantled a $250 million fraud scheme already in Minnesota, and that case led to 78 indictments and 57 convictions. Wire fraud, money laundering, conspiracy, trying to subvert justice as well. Patel goes on to say, this is just the tip of a very large iceberg. We will continue to follow the money and protect the children, and the investigation very much remains ongoing. So, look, it's easy to point fingers at a time like this when someone comes on and does what Shirley did and say, where were you? Why didn't you do more? That's my first reaction too. It really is. I do want to be fair to people when it comes to certain things, but that only goes so far. And I'll talk a little bit more about that coming up soon. So I'm not going to rip the FBI saying they should have done more, done faster, because I don't know what all they've been doing. They've obviously been doing some work here. But when this stuff starts to come out, I would have loved to have seen Pam Bondi and Kash Patel go into the governor's offices in the state of Minnesota and just say, hey, we are securing this scene. Before you let anybody know that you're coming to Minnesota to take a look at this stuff, because how many paper shredders and call in Hillary Clinton for the hard drive ball peen hammer thing, how much of that's been going on since this started to light up and get on the radar of all these people? And then this kid comes out over the Christmas holiday and just completely blows the whole thing sky high. So I'm irritated that this was allowed to go on so long. I'm irritated with state media, Twin Cities media. Some of them I know did point out something sometimes, but it wasn't enough. This is the kind of thing that should have been the lead story every night of the week. So that's all the updates from the day on story number one. Story number two, a University of Michigan poll has asked parents of U.S. kids 18 and under about their views on various child health topics, including bullying, internet safety, lack of physical activity, diet, parental stress, so on and so forth. They found that 69% of American parents, 69% say the physical health of American children and teens is getting worse. And 83% believe the mental health of U.S. kids and teens is also getting worse. These are U.S. parents who know better than certainly I do, My kids are a little bigger now. They're not teenagers anymore. But friends, this needs to be part of the big wake-up call. And when people start saying to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Dr. Oz and all these guys, well, why do you guys know about anything? You're talking about our food and whatever. Look, it's screen time. It's exercise. It's what they're eating or not eating. And we better listen to parents. When 7 out of 10 American parents say the health of kids is getting worse, this is crazy because I feel like we're talking about Make America Healthy Again way more than we have before. Talking about the vaccines, talking about food additives, and taking dye out of things that we don't need, getting the food stamp people off of pop and candy. So it feels like we're making headway, yet this many parents say that their mental and physical health of kids is getting worse. Yowza. They say, by the way, social media, number one concern. Story number two. Story number three, Fox Business says, if you want to start buying some furniture or things for the home, your home goods, do it now because prices are expected to increase in early 2026. This comes from the research economists at Wells Fargo. They say that retailers have tried to hold or modestly increase prices this holiday season, but many retailers are going to need to start raising prices because they front-loaded inventory purchases before they were faced with additional tariffs. Okay, I'm going to call a little BS on this one, but I get what they're saying. I'm not necessarily taking issue with the analysis here. That probably did happen, but honest to gosh, you guys, we have a 1.6% annual inflation rate if you just take a look at the last 3 months' worth of data. Now, I know you can't really do that, but I'm going to for purposes of the conversation. We have a very tame inflation picture over the last 3 months, but what were we told? Oh, boy, by the time we get to third and fourth quarter, we're going to see these Trump tariffs. They're going to throw prices through the roof. Nobody's going to be able to afford anything because of Trump, that idiot. He's killing everything. And he's raising prices on us. The problem is it hasn't happened. So could there be some prices raised on certain things? Yes. Is this something to look at and say, oh, my gosh, everything you buy at the stores? No, it absolutely is not. So don't do any of that. People like you and people like me and people like the good friends I watch on Fox Business have been saying that, yes, there could be a slight bump somewhere. But just because the price is a little higher for something on the shelf doesn't mean you have to buy it. And if you buy that thing, you're probably going to spend a little less on something else. So we're not really going to see our bank accounts ransacked like they all said was going to happen. It has not happened yet. And if you're thinking that this is some horror story, this is Fox Business. So they're not trying to light us on fire about this whole thing. But I'm just saying, this is story number 8,000 that I've read in the last 11 months about how, no, not 11 months. It happened in April, right? It happened basically in April. Last, whatever that is, 7, 8 months. How, like, the whole thing was going to blow up on our wallets just has not happened there. Story number four, in California, there is a movement underway to garner signatures on a petition that would impose a 5% one-time tax on assets of the California residents that are worth more than $1 billion. Notice I did not say the bank accounts or the stock holdings or your CDs or your money markets or your 401ks or anything like that. I said the assets. Now, in California, having $1 billion of assets is a lot of assets. No doubt about that. That's $1,000 million. Okay? So it's not like we're talking about the poor people here, but when you talk about land, when you talk about property, when you talk about businesses and things like that, there are more than just five or six people that have $1 billion worth of assets. And the socialists out there want to impose a 5% tax on your assets if you are worth more than $1 billion. This is hard goods, investments, property, whatever, anything, collectibles, that nice watch. They're going to add it all up. One time 5% tax. So what would a 10% tax be? $100 million? No. $10 million. So if my quick math is right. So it'd be a $5 million check you get asked to write out. What's going to happen to the wealth in California? You think people are going to stick around for that? Supporters say the revenue could help offset federal funding cuts for health care. Oh, boy, maybe we should figure out how to do health care a little bit better in California so we're not relying on federal help for all that. So pity the wealthy people, the rich people in California. A buddy of mine told me not too long ago, he said, you know what? I'm not one of the rich guys. A buddy of mine who's a farmer. I'm not one of the rich guys, but we kind of need the rich guys because I can't buy the brand new combine, the brand new tractor. But thank goodness somebody can, because then when they decide to sell theirs after 5 years, then I can maybe buy the used one. I'm like, you know what? That's a mature way to answer the question. So there you go on that. And finally, North Dakotans are proud to be North Dakotans. A new survey out by the North Dakota News Cooperative asked, 625 North Dakota voters in early December, are you proud to be a North Dakotan? 91% said yes. Only 9% said no. You can't get 91 out of 100 people to agree to anything. But in North Dakota, we're proud to be from here. Darn good state. Could do without the weather, although like I told Dean Wysocki a little while ago, seems to be a lot nicer out west most of the time than it is here in the valley. So I guess you can find what you're looking for in the weather as well. And those, friends, are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. We call it the top five at five. All right. For the rest of the show, I want to start getting into what we saw happen last week on Christmas week. The 23-year-old kid who lit the internet on fire over Christmas, and Tim Walz is feeling the burn. That's next. If you got a comment or question, want to sound off, just want to say I'm dang mad and I had to tell somebody, hey, that's what we're here for. Or if you want to say, I'm just happy as a clam today, got a lot of joy in my heart, would love to hear from you on that too. 701-271-1100, that's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. You can text us as well, 701-237-1590, or email email studio@flagfamily.com, studio@flagfamily.com. The social media post of the day goes to a sports writer turned social commentarian named Jason Whitlock. He used to write sports for the Kansas City Star. Now he's become more of a voice on social issues, African-American man, but is not afraid to get after his own people and speak truth where he feels that it's needed. And he's, I think, been one of the, he's kind of like a Joe Rogan. Never thought of himself as a political guy, probably still doesn't, but is saying things now that make a heck of a lot of political sense. And he put this post out earlier today. Government can finance whatever culture it wants. Minnesota spends billions of dollars on childcare and Somalis, so it's easier for families to divorce and degrade society. Imagine paying people to stay married and raise their own kids. How about we pay housewives' salaries? Ooh. Now, I'm not so sure that I follow him on by having the child care stuff. It's easier for families to divorce. I don't know that I quite understand where he's going there. But, boy, he began and ended with a haymaker. Government can finance whatever culture it wants. Isn't that true? Pay housewives' salaries. Imagine paying people to stay married and raise their own kids. Well, we're doing a little bit of that, right, with the child tax credits. But how about some assistance for the mom who stays home with three kids, or the dad? I don't care. Stay-at-home parents. How about we incentivize some of that? Pay housewives' salaries. I like it. But government can finance whatever culture it wants. And right now, this is how it applies, and you can look at any corner of your world. But right now, it's obviously very apparent in Minnesota and in the Twin Cities area that the government is financing whatever it wants. It's financing aid to people from places like Somalia and other places as well. It's paying for child care, if you can call it that, when there's no child care actually happening in the places that are going on there. Government can finance whatever culture it wants. There's a lot of wisdom there. So they say that if you want to see where someone's heart is at, see where their money goes. I've heard that used kind of in the church. You know, if people, you know, are walking with the Lord and they want to, you know, they're really passionate about ministry, they're going to give money to the church. That's probably where I first heard it. But It's really kind of true wherever. Where's my heart at? Well, look at where I'm spending my money. Hopefully I'm spending on the right things, but I waste money on stuff I probably shouldn't or don't need to buy. But where does your money go? It goes to the things that you think are important and to the priorities that you believe will create a healthy and successful culture. So look at all the money that's spent in Minnesota and say, this is what the government of Minnesota and, I hate to say it, our elected leaders want to spend money on. In Minnesota right now, we've got a business over in Grand Rapids. We are trying to navigate this new Paid Family Leave Act, where people can get as much as 20 weeks off. You're not going to get full pay for doing it, but you're going to get like 70%. And it'll cost a little something for the employee, but it costs a fair amount for the employer and a lot for the state of Minnesota. This is what they want to incentivize. Now, you can say, well, there's some good things about being able to take care of family members or whatever, but most businesses are doing that with paid time off anyway. So look where your government is spending all of its money. City of Fargo. Where are we spending all of our money? West Fargo, where are we spending all of our money? Moorhead, Cass County, Clay County, state of North Dakota, where are we spending our money? This is the culture that we want. Just follow the money. All right, short news and weather break here. Want to get that going as sort of an appetizer for the conversation about the video that everybody is talking about. By Nick Shirley. I have come up with what I believe to be the five most significant eyebrow raisers, the craziest revelations from that investigation. I'll give you my top five on that one coming up next on the Steve Holmstrom Show. 5:39, Steve Holmstrom Show. Let's open up the phone lines here. The Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line open for business. Leon from Enderlin wants to give a comment on Jason Whitlock, who we were talking about a little bit ago. Hey, Leon, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Just enjoying this weather, right?
Oh, that makes one of us.
Yeah, I am not. So it's an interesting thing with Jason. When I used to live in Kansas City, I got in arguments. Like on air with that guy.
Oh.
I was on KMBZ with Darla J. And like he has not always been like this uber conservative guy. And I'm glad that he is now. But one of the things that you mentioned was him mentioning that, you know, we're subsidizing the culture that we have. And you didn't understand about, you know, the single moms and all of that. What Jason has been talking about for a while, and a lot of black conservatives have been talking about for some time, is we have subsidized this single motherhood and, well, I come from the African American background, so does Jason, so that's what we talk about. But this culture where the government basically pays these women not to get married and to have multiple children by multiple baby daddies, and then they get government checks for pretty much everything, for food, for housing, just for being, you know, it's a grift. And poor communities, African American communities in particular. And Jason has been talking about that for quite some time.
Okay, so what we're saying here is that if the government is underwriting your health care, your child care, all the things to give you welfare support and whatever, that there's no incentive to find a guy and get married and have a real family, because you can have your kids, you can collect your child support, and you can get the government help for things. Am I following you?
Yeah, the government becomes your daddy. See, your husband, your spouse, and this is me as a man, Christian man, black Christian man, speaking to you. It is my belief that it is my job to provide health care for my family, daycare if needed, food, housing, clothing, schooling, education, all of that stuff. That's on my shoulders as a man. That's why God made me. He made me to do those things. Now, if government can step in and take that role away from that guy, I mean, and the woman can make more money with her lewd and lascivious lifestyle and get paid for it. You know, it's a thing that if you sit and you think about it, like you and I, we'd go, no way. But that's a thing that's been happening in this country for like at least 60 years.
Yeah, I get you. I get you. Leon, good stuff. Thanks for giving us some perspective there. I didn't track it quite that way, so you shined a little bit of a light on it. Appreciate you, brother. Thanks for giving a call in today.
No problem. God
Take
bless.
Care. Thanks a lot. You too, Leon. All right, so let me give you my five big takeaways on this whole thing here, from the video that Nick Shirley put out right before Christmas. The one everybody's talking about is Quality Learning Center. Millions of dollars basically being paid to a daycare that had no kids in it. And you might say, well, it's Christmas week. Maybe kids weren't there up at this place. But a local resident said, I've been working nearby here for about 8 years. I've never seen any kids going in or coming out of this place at all. And the thing you're laughing about is the thing was this place, it looks like literally a hole in the wall of the side of a strip mall. But there's a sign above the door that says Quality Learning Center. It's supposed to say Learning Center, but they misspelled it. So it says Learning instead of Quality Learning. So this facility has been operating now for several years, apparently, and it's been authorized, according to government records, to have 99 children. That's their permit is for 99 children, and they're getting about $1.9 million this year alone, with a total of $4 million worth of recorded state disbursements. But the building was locked and quiet when they stopped by. This wasn't at Christmas. This was a day or two before. So that was the one that everybody's talking about. Number two, high violation rates with no license revocation. So the Quality Learning Center had accrued since 2019 95 different violations, including failure to keep hazardous items away from kids, having no records for more than a dozen listed students. Despite this track record, the Human Services Agency allowed their license to remain active through this year and going forward. So there apparently had been some kids there at some point, although nobody can really seem to find them. Of course, when they show up, there's nobody there. The third thing was the ghost businesses. This was crazy. So Shirley goes to a place in St. Paul that is registered to have dozens of healthcare and medical product business distribution entities there. And multiple businesses there were registered to just this tiny little office. And the staff there couldn't say what they did, what services they provided, or how they billed the state for this. And we're not really sure what even they were supposed to be doing there. But there's dozens of businesses that were in these small facilities there. So that was another one. I think another thing that jumped out in the video was when people tried to block his access. In one of the clips there, he tried to say, can I just come in and ask you a couple of questions? And they started yelling. It was the one clip I saw was several women with the whole headdresses and the gowns yelling, don't open the door. And they said that they thought Shirley was an ICE agent. And, you know, they didn't want to talk. They could hardly speak fluent English. And it was just like, no. And we saw this during the voting stuff, right? When Biden, quote unquote, beat Trump, is that they start boarding up walls. Well, when you don't want anybody asking questions or seeing what you're doing there, what do you suppose that tells anybody? If somebody walked in the front door here and said, hey, just want to ask you a little bit about what you guys are doing here, well, I don't know that I would be thrilled about a surprise visit, but I would be pretty easily be able to say what we did here. And then the other thing that came out of the video was this local investigator, I can't remember his name, but he talked in great detail about some of the work that he had done and he kind of traveled around with Shirley on this thing, talking about how the government has not been inspecting, has not been asking questions. They might be doing some quote-unquote inspections, but just stopping by to say that they were there without having the right questions asked about why they were there. And so there was a lot of like really interesting specific examples about how this fraud was known by people in the government. Now, since all this has happened, of course, we're getting a lot of people kind of looking in at this and people who are trying to do some of the math here. And I did a little research on this for the show today to try to find out, like, okay, if there's billions of dollars in fraud, how much of a part of the state budget is that? I found out that Minnesota last year collected about $33.6 billion in total state taxes. So let's say 30 just for round numbers here. And that comes from individual income tax, sales tax, corporate franchise taxes, gas tax, everything there. And if you take a look at $30 billion, and we're talking about, some people are saying that we could have as much as $10 billion in fraud altogether on this. Well, I get that that's over a period of years, but that's a third of what the state brings in 1 year. So think about it this way, a hardworking Minnesota taxpayer, that if you're paying your taxes into these programs or whatever's coming from the federal government too, that you might have $30 billion of quote-unquote revenue coming into the state, but maybe a third of it this year is going out the door. I get it, not all in 1 year, but if you add it all up and take it as a one-time hit. This is crazy. And Minnesota, of course, has one of the highest tax burdens in the country, consistently one of the state's top 10 for taxes. This should make every American mad, not just Minnesotans, because it is federal tax money coming back through federal programs that goes into these places and goes who knows where. We've heard the stories about suitcases of cash going out the door. And I don't know for a fact that Al-Shabaab, the terrorist organization, is getting. That's just what I've heard. I don't know that for a fact myself. But is it impossible that that could happen? Knowing what happens when you bring money back to places in East Africa like that, that's what happens. It ends up in bad people's hands. Where has the Twin Cities media been? And why could none of them have done what this 23-year-old kid has done? There are some reporters that have tried to dig into this a little bit, but I think they might have had their hands slapped in their own newsrooms. Like, don't ask too many questions. But yeah, just say there's some things that are curious. This kid went and did in basically a couple of days what nobody else was willing to do. Billions of dollars we're talking about here. Now, that's a lot for a federal government. We're talking about a state government. For a state government to have this level of fraud, that's a staggering amount of money. Staggering amount of money. This is why big government scares me and other conservatives. There are too many nooks and crannies for waste and fraud to hide. And when big government gets involved and starts funding these things, there's just no way to keep track of it all. If this happened in a business, the CEO would be fired. Well, Tim Walz is the CEO of Minnesota. He needs to be fired. Last thing I want to say on the subject is this. This brings up tough conversations. They're awkward for a lot of people, but they aren't for me, and they shouldn't be for you here either. And I'm talking about Somalis. I'm talking about skin color. People don't want to talk about it because, oh, I don't want to be a racist. Well, these people came here legally. They did, through the immigration system. There may be a few of them that snuck in or whatever, but generally speaking, these are people that came through our legal immigration system. But really, to me, it's all the same, whether you're talking about refugee resettlement or the general immigration pathways. We should be bringing in people who can make our country stronger. This has nothing to do with race or skin color or even your religion. If your religion is peaceful and supports our values, no problem. There are black people who have come to this country for decades from regions where there's good education, places where they believe in law and order, places where they understand that there is justice and crime is a bad thing. Why would we possibly want people who don't have that same compass? I've read some commentary online from people on both left and the right, And I'm seeing this over and over, that people from this part of East Africa, not everywhere, Kenya seems to have a different way of doing things, but people from this part of East Africa are wired to take money anywhere they can get it, and they don't ask questions. It's all fair game. The game is, if you can get the money, it doesn't matter if it's dishonest. This seems to be a statistical reality here. I say it's a privilege to come into this country. And if you come here, you have a responsibility to understand our rules and play by our rules. Black, white, yellow, doesn't matter. Because when you get here, you are in the game and all things are possible. And if you ignore that, then you're telling me you've stopped believing in American excellence. I have not. President Trump has not. And I don't think either of us cares if you want to be lazy and childish and call us racist, because I don't care. I don't think the president does either. But the left has used that trick over and over to make good people sit down and shut up and not question the kind of things that Nick Shirley has exposed. Well, I think there's a lot of us who consider ourselves to be good people, good God-fearing, kind-hearted, generous people who have had enough, and we don't care anymore if you call us a racist or not. This is not about race. This is about a pocket of people in Minneapolis, St. Paul, that have abused the system. And these people need to go, and there needs to be justice, and we need to have a bigger conversation about who we're bringing to this country and why. And it doesn't matter what part of the world, what color your skin is, what your background, what your beliefs are, but you better understand that in America we do things certain ways, and you cannot steal. You cannot commit fraud. That's wrong. Let's find people from other parts of the world to come here to bring into our country. A 553 Steve Hallstrom Show. Your thoughts, 701-271-1100 when we come back. All right, text message just came in. Steve, is there a connection to the murder of Melissa Hortman and Walz's guy because of her voting against more support for these programs? I think the answer to that is no, and I'm pretty sure that this guy, Vance Belter, seemed to be as much of a Trump supporter and an anti-abortion warrior than anything else. And I think he was just a lunatic, to be honest with you. I get where people could draw the connection. I saw Benny Johnson's been posting some stuff on that. But people that know Hortman and know that game down there say this is not related to anything about voting for that. Yes, she did kill a bill. There's no doubt about that. But any tie between Belter taking action against her about this doesn't really seem to have anything to do with that vote. So people that know her in that situation say no. Thanks for the question. Have a great night, my friend. Keep on flying that flag.